The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast, Dr. Taz. Superwoman Wellness.
Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. And you know, every episode of this show, I am determined to help you find your best self and be the superwoman you're meant to be. Joining me today is Dr. Todd Sinnett. He is a pain expert and chiropractor. In his best-selling series of books, including 3 Weeks to a Better Back, he has introduced the Sinnett Solution, the practice of listening to the whole body and treating all sources of back pain, including structural, digestive, and emotional levels of back pain. He's been on a number of TV programs, including The View and Good Day New York. He's been a lecturer on MSNBC, and I am proud today to have him on my show. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sinnett.
Thank you, and I am proud to be on the show. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yes. So this is a really important topic. I don't think I know a patient or a woman who has not had back pain in some degree for some reason. And, you know, we'll talk about all the different reasons for back pain in just a minute. But when did you, I know you're a chiropractor. I know how much great training you guys get on musculoskeletal health. When did you sort of really dive more so into the world of back pain and understand that there's a lot more to it than just back pain?
Yeah, I guess the funny answer is in 1975. My father had been a chiropractor for about 15 years, and then one day bent down to pick up a tennis ball, and his back went out. And mind you that he was a chiropractor at the time, so he earned his living helping people deal with their back pain. So for 9 months, my father was completely bedridden with severe lower back pain. He went to every known profession, including his own, and really no one could help him. They wanted to do exploratory surgery, which is basically a term of, we'll cut you open and see if we can find anything, which is not something he was going to do. And then he wound up seeing this doctor who with the fortuitous name of Dr. Goodhart. And Dr. Goodhart was asking questions that were very different than all the other doctors. He was asking my father, well, why are you having these spasms? Why such a simple movement to create the problem? You seem overall very healthy. And then he started to ask my father questions about his diet. And back then, as long as you were thin, you could eat whatever you wanted. You were considered healthy. So my father would have dessert after every meal, lots of caffeine and lots of sugar. And Dr. Goodhart surmised that my dad's digestive system got very inflamed and irritated. And then it reflexed and threw the back muscles out, or threw the back muscles into spasm. And that's basically called a viscerosomatic reaction, which is just basically our organs and our muscular system are related. And he made a couple corrections and changed my dad's diet. Within 2 weeks, he was 100% cured after being bedridden for 9 months.
Wow.
And that's how it all started.
Goodness gracious. So for anybody out there today who, and I know you guys have heard your stories, you come in and you're thinking about back surgery, you've had chronic back pain, you might have ended up on a lot of medications to medicate that back pain. You know, this is really important information, this viscerosomatic connection that connects different areas of our health, this holistic view of back pain is really, really important to get a handle on, because I think we're so culturally conditioned, and even as a medical community, conditioned to think of pain as pain, it's localized. It's localized to this particular area. And if something hurts, cut it. Just cut it and get it out of there. So, and a lot of times that's not the answer. So you are talking a lot in your books and some of the work that you do about the link between diet and back pain. You talked about it with your dad just a second ago. Maybe dive into that a little bit more for us. What have you seen in your work linking these two concepts together?
So I think, if we're going to discuss back pain, the thing is we got to start with the statistics of back pain. So 20% of the world is currently suffering from it. 85% of all the people in the world will suffer from it. It's the number one reason for job disability. It's the second leading cause of missed work days. It's an epidemic. And what's happening is because a lot of people have reached the conclusion that back pain is just a natural progression of life and that everyone's going to go through it. And I see these statistics and say, you know what? We're completely missing it. It's a complete paradigm shift because we're not looking at the back pain properly. See, our current system is only looking at back pain as a structural problem, a muscle, bone, disc problem.
Right.
Whereas back pain comes from three different sources, right? So it does come from structural sources, and that's where we put all our energy. It comes from emotions and stress, so tension. And then the third thing, which no one is talking about, no one's written a book about it, which I am, is diet. So your digestive inflammation, we are what we're eating, we are what we're digesting, and that has a direct correlation to our muscular function. And when I tell patients this, they will disbelieve it. Doesn't make any sense. But then what I'll do is I'll just dial it back and I'll sit there and say, you know, Olympic athletes, they know that when they're training, they need to really eat very healthy and clean and right for their system to have good muscular function. And I'll say, well, the opposite is also true. Or if you've ever been hungover, how's your muscular system feeling? There's a direct correlation because anything that could upset your digestive system that can create inflammation raises the inflammatory factors in the body and can create muscular pain or back pain.
Amazing. And so this is the viscerosomatic connection that you were just referring to in your father's story, correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
And are there particular things like, you know, so somebody listening to this is okay, like, okay, here she goes again. Dr. Taz has somebody on talking about inflammation and diet. But are there very specific things that you know are connected when people are eating a diet like this or this type of food that you've seen more and more occurrences of back pain? Because it is really easy to dismiss, right? I can give you all the counter arguments in just a minute. What have you seen in your practice as the biggest dietary links to back pain?
So there are basically two specific patterns that I'm seeing, two or three specific patterns that we're seeing. So we're taking the typical person who is what we would call eating the typical unhealthy diet, right? They're having the bagel, they're having the coffee, they're having the sandwich, the chips, the soda, the pasta, the wine, and the dessert.
Mm-hmm.
So all the simple carbohydrates, simple sugars, elevate the cortisol levels in the body and can create back pain. So that's one main factor. The other category, which I feel falls about 25% of the people who are suffering from back pain due to digestive issues, are what I call the super healthy eaters. The people are eating too much of a good thing is not a good thing. So it's people having, and the common triggers are too many large salads, too much roughage, too much oatmeal, too many protein bars. A lot of times people also having too much sparkling water or seltzers or club soda. So anything that creates digestive inflammation can create back pain. So that's 20 or 25% category.
That is fascinating because I'm going to stop you for a second. I think we all, you know, for everybody out there listening, they understand, you know, the junkie eater, right? The junkie eater may be having inflammation, inflammation in turn triggering all kinds of different things. What about the super eaters? Because I think they get really confused. I know exactly who you're talking about. Why is too much of a salad a bad thing? Why is too much oatmeal not the best? What's happening there kind of in that gut kind of milieu, so to speak, that's triggering inflammation and back pain?
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of times I'll see it on x-ray. So anything, gas is a major factor. Gas and bloating is a major factor. So if I take an x-ray and I see gas or bloating on an x-ray, that is equal to the pressure of an inflatable football. And that pressure puts tremendous pressure on the muscular system in the back and can create a lot of back pain. So for some, a large salad is an undigestible food or a super green drink or a specific kale or a protein bar. So you really want to pay attention to how your digestive system's feeling, how you're feeling, and also you want to pay attention to your bowel movement. If you're having good, healthy bowel movements, then your digestive system is functioning pretty well, and if you're not, it's not, regardless if it's deemed a superfood. It may not be a superfood for you.
And in the same vein, you talk about kale. Kale is like the number one superfood. I know so many people who are doing, you know, kale smoothies and kale pancakes and kale everything. But you're saying, for the same reason, it could be causing your back pain because it's increasing maybe some bloating and indigestion because it's not an easily digestible food. Is that correct?
Agreed. So, you know, in the book, it's very simple. I have a digestive inflammation test. And that's just a test. It's basically a questionnaire to go through to see if we think your back pain is diet related. So how you answer the questions is going to tell you the likelihood of your back pain being caused by your diet. And then if that's the case, then I have a diagnostic nutrition test to decide what category, what type of person you are, and then what is the best type of diet to combat this. So for the person who's having kind of the unhealthy diet, we eliminate all the simple carbohydrates, simple sugars, and that's called the No More Back Pain Diet or the Paleo Plus Diet. Mm-hmm. For someone who's having too much of those healthy foods, we have a digestive rest diet, which cuts down on a lot of the raw foods. And then we have also the FODMAPS diet, which is really for someone who's suffering from irritable bowel syndrome. And those are specific carbohydrates or specific foods that someone's sensitive to. So we're able to cut down on the inflammation irritation with these particular diets. and then you see how you feel.
More with Dr. Taz coming up, but first I want to tell you about Kaya Biotics. Kaya Biotics are high-quality probiotics designed to improve gut health. Now, you want to feel good? You want to live your best life? I get it, but if your gut health isn't functioning properly, life can be miserable. The gut and its impact on our physical and mental health has been underestimated for years, and that's where Kaya Biotics comes in. Probiotics that are exclusively certified organic and only include organic ingredients, a complete novelty for probiotics. Plus, it's easy to get the right probiotic for your needs with three different probiotic supplements. Multibac strengthens digestive functions and your immune system. Candida Complex fights candida and yeast infections. And Body Plus helps with weight loss. And there's no unnecessary fillers, additives, or anti-caking agents. And Kaya Biotics are also vegan, GMO-free, and come in stomach acid-resistant late-release capsules. So try Kaya Biotics. It's a treat for your gut. Choose the right organic probiotic formula for your body and save 25% off your first purchase by using the code WHOLEHEALTH at checkout at kayabiotics.com. That's K-A-Y-A biotics.com. Once again, save 25% off your first purchase by using the code WHOLEHEALTH at checkout at kayabiotics.com. That's K-A-Y-A biotics.com. Now back to the Dr. Taz Show.
So let's go through those one more time. So the specific carbohydrate diet, the FODMAP diet, what was your third one that you really liked to help control some of this?
We called it the digestive rest diet. And that's where we're going to cut down on the roughage. We're going to cut down on the raw foods, less salads, less fruits. We're just going to calm it down for a couple weeks.
And so what is so someone who's thinking, okay, I'm going to jump into this, how long should they give it? Because I know so many people will try something for 2 days and say it didn't work. How long should they really give this?
3 to 4 weeks max. See, the great thing is if your back pain is diet related, it's the easiest thing to fix and it's the quickest solution. You will know your answer within 3 or 4 weeks.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
You know, one of my main principles is I always tell someone, regardless of your severity of your symptoms, whether you've been diagnosed with a herniated disc, whether you can barely walk, whether you just have this tight nagging back, it can be caused by your diet. So the last thing you want to do is undergo any aggressive treatments without at least addressing and figuring out if your back pain could be diet related.
All right, guys, you heard it from Dr. Sinnott. Really pay attention to your diet when you're thinking about back pain and sources of your back pain. It's not just structure. I really hope everyone's absorbing that because I see so many people who do go into surgery and sometimes don't get the results they want. And these are some of the reasons why. Let's switch gears. We know that diet is one of your three things when we're thinking about causes of back pain. You talk a lot about emotions. You know, I think, again, we all talk about stress. We talk about high cortisol. We talk about how we need to manage that better. But what are our emotions doing when it comes to back pain? And even flipping that a little bit, what does a tight back say? Like, for example, in Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine, the back has a meridian that flows through it. It has, very important marma points that are through it. So when those points get blocked, it's significant not just for something going wrong at the location, but there's an emotion associated with it. There's maybe an organ system associated with it. What are you tying, when you talk emotion and back pain, what are the patterns that you're seeing the most frequently?
Sure. So I would say that it's really important for everyone to realize that Stanford University ran a landmark study on Boeing employees to find out what is the number one factor for back pain. So they did physicals, they checked flexibility, they checked strength, and the answer was emotional outlook and stress levels. So we could check and measure people's stress levels and emotional outlook, and that is the biggest indicator of who will suffer from back pain and who won't. So if you're suffering from back pain, the most important and number one factor is your emotions and your stress. So unfortunately, in our society, we're not asking ourselves the right questions when we start to have back problems. Right? We're asking questions of, oh, I may have blown out a disc. I hope I didn't create a problem. Rather than turning around and asking ourselves the questions, well, why am I so uptight? What am I stressed about? What am I concerned about? Those types of questions. And the amazing thing also that there's a very much a link between the digestive system and the emotional system and the structural system in that if you're eating a hot fudge sundae, if you're eating a hot fudge sundae when you're celebrating, it's a very different biochemical and hormonal response in the body than if you're eating a hot fudge sundae when you're depressed. So all these three factors are very much interlinked. So it's another example of someone could go wildly off their diet when they're on vacation and still feel great. And if they did that in their regular environment, they would feel terrible. So emotions and diet and structural system are all very much interconnected and interlinked. But the emotions are the number one factor when it comes to back pain. And yes, I honestly believe that when the emotions go off, it throws off essentially the energy in the body or the chi or the chakras. What we want to do is we want to do everything we can to combat that. So in our office, we do something called biofeedback, where we'll measure someone's stress response and teach them how to relax. But the answer is it could be very different for anybody. It could be doing a meditative app on your phone. It could be going out for a regular walk. It could be having more conversations. It could be seeing a stress management counselor. It could be meeting with a therapist. But you really want to reduce your stress levels to help your back pain.
I always in practice, you know, I have these guidelines for patients, and I always say, you know, at least 2 to 3 hours a week of some sort of cortisol lowering activity, whether, you know, just like you're saying, sometimes that's personalized to you. Sometimes it's a massage. Sometimes it's a walk. Sometimes it's playing golf, but whatever it is, but something where you get pleasure, you're allowed to relax because there is a different biochemical pathway happening and it helps to reduce pain. This is so interesting to me. And I'm curious too, as you're seeing these emotions play out and you're starting biofeedback, you're also dealing with the structure, right? You're also doing some manipulation and doing what kind of the world of the, at least what we know of, chiropractors to do is doing adjustments and manipulations. How do those tie into, does one feed the other as someone gets manipulated, their emotions are better? Walk us through that whole scenario.
Yes. So the structural system is very much linked. So I tell patients the adrenal glands, which are a stress gland, actually relate to a muscle called the sartorius muscle. So the sartorius muscle essentially goes from your hip or your pelvis to the front part of your knee. So it essentially controls the alignment balance of your lower structure or your pelvis. So in times of stress, it's going to throw off the alignment within the pelvis. So the key is if you want to be free of back pain, you need balance in three areas. You need to have structural balance with the muscle, bones, this nerve. You need to have diet and digestive balance, and you need to have emotional balance. You can't have two-thirds of it and expect to be free of back pain. So that type of approach is really what I call the Sinnott solution, which is the reason or the difference from living a life of suffering from pain and whatnot to not having it. And it's been really exciting.
Well, for anybody out there, Dr. Sinnott, who doesn't understand chiropractic manipulation, can you explain that? I know that by now most people know what it is, but I still get surprised by some of the questions I get every now and then. For anyone who you know, is just curious, like what really happens in a manipulation or an adjustment? We hear those words, but I don't think we always have a visual of what's happening.
So the science behind chiropractic or manipulation is that our bones are our vertebrae. Coming out from our spine, which impact all the muscles, bones, nerves throughout the body, have a normal range of motion or flexibility to them. And through normal daily occurrences, sitting hunched over, whatever it may be, we start to lose that range of motion, that flexibility. So what the adjustments are is it restores that normal range of motion and flexibility within the body. And that cracking sound is just a release of carbon dioxide gas within the joints. And it relieves pressure, it takes pressure off the nerves, and allows a freer range of motion and the nervous system to function better.
Amazing. And what about, and this is totally a selfish question, so if I'm boring anybody out there, I apologize. But, you know, I have had some really tough patients, quite honestly, who don't, for example, hold their adjustment or they're in chronic pain and they have this information at their hands. What do you do with those guys? Where do you take them next?
Well, again, I always believe in doing the least invasive treatment first, and then you keep ramping it up to do more and more invasive treatments. So you first want to do no harm and then see what kind of approach it is. But again, you need to find balance on the structural level, so muscle, bones, disc, nerve. So we start with chiropractic. We start with physical therapy. We start with some massage therapy, so manual therapy. Then we go on to our non-surgical orthopedist who can do a series of injections with Tramiel or something called PRP. So we tend to keep it as natural as possible. And then if that's not working, there's the cortisone injections, there's the epidural injection, and certainly lastly, surgical approach. But again, we want to look at the digestive system. So we start with some diet modifications, seeing and meeting with a nutritionist, taking a look at perhaps some supplements, seeing an internist, ruling out any, abdominal issues, and then also maybe seeing a gastroenterologist. And from the emotions, working on your own stress, working on stress management, maybe seeing a stress management counselor, maybe seeing a therapist, or maybe to the nth degree, needing some medication, seeing a psychiatrist. So again, those are the pathways for each patient. And then what we need to do is figure out which path that a patient needs to be put on. Is it just the structural? Is it just the emotional? Is it just the digestive? Is it some form of all three? And that's the solution of back pain.
And then there are many
patients. And if all the doctors just took that approach, just looking at that, the paradigm of back pain completely changes.
I agree. I mean, you'll get no argument from me. I agree 100%. And again, a frustrating piece for me, just from a management standpoint, is how, and I'm sure you've seen this in your practice, the patient that's already been through our sort of Western approach of back pain and has ended up on multiple medications for pain that may or may not be working. A lot of times they're not, but now is in this sort of drug pain cycle that's also affecting their gut. What have you found successful to unwind that? How do you get people off some of these medications, back to the right diet, back to being in balance?
Well, first off, if someone's on medications, you need to talk with their medical doctor about discussing what they're on and how to properly get them off.
Right. Absolutely.
It's certainly not a chiropractor's expertise to be able to do that, but you got to take a step back. And you got to stop from step one. You can't go to step eight. So we need to look at all these different factors. We need to look at their posture. We need to look at their alignment. We need to look at their diet. And again, just because someone's been suffering for years, just because people have had back surgeries, just by changing someone's diet, it could completely change your life and rid yourself of back pain. So, the great news is that people aren't stuck. If your doctors are not looking at the emotions and they're not looking at the digestive aspects, you have two-thirds of the equation that can really be of help to you. You can't present only 33% of the information and act as if, we can fix things. And that's
right.
We can't. So our society is only presenting a third of the information. And what I'm here doing in my practice is presenting the other two-thirds. And then with the back pain relief diet book, I'm giving basically, I've written a whole book on the third aspect of it, which no one's really talking about, is the role that diet and digestion play in back pain.
Such great information. And then one final question, I think for patients or for, just anyone out there, kind of given the stress of modern day life, is a great sign of pelvic instability. If you're not yet tuned into your diet, into your digestive system and things like that, you're completely just tuned into pain. If you're having more pain on one side of the body versus the other, for example, you have more right hip pain or right knee pain or left foot pain, is that a great way to sort of indicate that, hey, we're starting to have some pelvic instability. I need to be looking at my back more. Would that be a motivator to kind of go through your book and do your work, kind of go through everything that you've lined out to really dig into these concepts a little bit deeper?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly one factor. But, a lot of times patients will have pain on the right side, then it'll move to the left side. And that's another good indicator because it tells us that we're not necessarily dealing with a specific problem on the right side, because if your pain can shoot over to the left, it tells us something.
So, interesting.
You just really want to approach back pain and back suffering from this three aspects and see where it impacts you. Solving back pain is a lot simpler than anyone thinks. We do not have to live a life of suffering from back pain. We really don't.
Well, I love the message. The book, everyone, is The Back Pain Relief Diet, The Undiscovered Key to Reducing Inflammation and Eliminating Pain. It will be available about the second week of October, right around October 12th. Pick it up. If you're suffering from pain or you know someone who's suffering from back pain, really try to get the whole story. Learn the whole picture. Don't just walk around with a third of the information, as Dr. Sinha has mentioned. Dr. Sinha, thank you so much for joining me. If my audience wants to connect with you, what's the best way for them to find you?
They can find me on my website at drsinnett.com. It's drsinnett.com.
Right. Excellent. Thank you so much for taking the time out. And for everybody out there, don't suffer from pain. Find a solution, read this book, and be a superwoman that you are meant to be. Thanks again.